the Simply Focus with Elva Czerny and Dominic Gilda for Life and Joy and Ease.
Welcome back to the Simply Focus podcast, the Good Life Approach, your podcast for life in joy and ease. This is a very special episode to us. It's half a year weekly podcast, and we will celebrate it today with Hannes Couvreur, who inspired us to do many, many, many sessions of That Reminds Me of the Following Story. Hello, Hannes. We're excited to have you here today.
Hello, Elfie and Dominic. The excitement is mutual.
You're in Belgium, right?
Yes, I'm living in the city of Ghent.
Ah, lovely.
We're so happy to have you here, and we still remember meeting you quite often at the conferences, and one time we met you at the Soul CE, the conference where Elfie and I met each other for the first time.
You were my study buddy back then, and I still remember how you asked me questions and the way they made me feel like such an expert and really feel good and important. So I think this is a very beautiful gift you have, your way of listening, your presence, and as well as your creativity. There's another thing we still remember from this conference.
Yeah, I still remember your workshop where you scaled with shoes. Everybody had to take off their shoes and scale their progress with their shoes. So from time to time, people got up in your workshop and they just moved the shoe one step further, and everybody could see how they made progress and how progress was there all the time in this workshop. So a really creative and great thing to do, scaling with shoes.
Yeah, that workshop was one of the most moving moments that I had as a solution-focused practitioner so far. And it has kept on inspiring myself as well ever since then. And yeah, it reminds me of a story, but let's tell that story another time and keep it focused on the stories you want to hear from me right now.
So that reminds me of this following story. This is what we love to talk about with you today. So Hannes, what inspired you to come up with this idea of That Reminds Me of the Following Story, and what is it?
That Reminds Me of the Following Story is a very simple way to let people tell stories automatically without you having to think about, oh, I'm not a great storyteller. How do I tell a story? There's a simple little thing that you say, and automatically after that sentence, you will tell a story. And there's only one rule, and it is whenever you want to say something, you start by saying, and that reminds me of the following story. So as a consequence, you'll have no question. You'll have no discussion. There's no fight about right and wrong, because it's just one story following the other. And also, people are free to be inspired by whatever they want to tell the following story. Someone tells a story about their grandmother playing the piano, and another participant sees that piano. It has black keys and reminds him or her about the black dog they had and how that dog danced. They just wait for the grandma story to end and then say, and that reminds me of the following story, and so on. Let me say, you cannot use it to dissect a topic, because you have to start somewhere and see what happens. And in that sense, it resonates with the way we solution-focused practitioners deal with conversations. You start somewhere and you have to follow what happens, and one thing happens after another. And yeah, that's basically it. As for how it originated or where we picked up the idea, because there's a we in the story. Well, actually, the idea emerged under the ocean in the train tunnel between United Kingdom or Great Britain and France. And there were two people in that train, obviously me, but there was also another person who's also very well known in the solution focused community. And his name is Anton Stellemans. Now, what had happened before was that we took the train from Brussels to London to join Mark McCurgo and Jenny Clark at a salon they had organized around the screening of An Ecology of Mind, which is a documentary about Gregory Bateson, a documentary made about his life by his youngest daughter, Nora Bateson. So we went to see that documentary. It was lovely to see Nora back, to meet with Jenny and Mark. And after the documentary, we were divided in groups to discuss certain questions. So, okay, that happened. And Anton and I took the train home, and we kind of reflected on how it was. And we both agreed that seeing the movie again was great. Every time we hear Bateson or we read his work, we discover new ideas. So that was really fascinating. And then we start talking about discussions. To sum it up, we hated them. We lost our energy. We felt our heads getting heavy. And being solution focused as we are, we just started wondering, when was was it better during these conversations? And actually, it turned out that the moments we enjoyed were when people told real stories, not when they were discussing or sharing arguments about some abstract theory and intangible concept. When they told a story, they told so many things at the same time. You could listen to these stories on so many levels. It changed your listening. Later, I found out that actually, when you notice that you've been told a story, it has a neurological but also a physical effect on you. So we discovered that the best moments in these discussions were these stories. And then I wondered, what would happen if we would do more of that, if we were enforced to do more of that? And then all of a sudden it hit me. I said, you know, the solution was in the documentary. Actually, Bateson told us the solution. And what I was referring to, it's also retold in one of his books. In this scene, there's this man and there's this kid. And the kid asks the man, why do you tell so many stories? Well, says the man, that reminds me of the following story. He tells this story about one day he was wondering whether a machine could have a mind just like human beings, and how it would work and how it would use it. And I might rephrase it a bit incorrectly, but if so, people will correct me. But the point was, the guy asked the machine, and after a couple of days, it was the 70s, a piece of paper rolled out, and that piece of paper contained one sentence. And that reminds me of a story. And so I said, yo, well, if we just use that at the beginning of everything you say, there's no way you can say something else but a story. Yeah, good idea. And on we went, and we arrived in Brussels. We each went our way. And I still kept this idea in my head, like, I want to try it out. And eventually, I ended up in Visegrad. And we had an open space. And I thought, well, if I want to figure out how it works, I just have to do it. This is a great audience. They will be willing to try it out and see how it goes. It was a bit stressing that it was open space because people could leave, of course, and they were allowed to leave, which is actually why I had them take off the shoes in the other workshop so they would be less inclined to leave. But that's where the idea originated from.
That is such a beautiful story and such a clever thing to have people take off the shoes to stay.
Well, yeah. So we sat down and we started doing it, and I told a story which wasn't a great one, but after a while, and I say after a while because it's part of the conversation, is the silence in between the stories. In Dutch, we have a saying, and it literally translates as people need time to come up with their story. And actually, this is what happened. I later realized, and I introduced it at that. When I do it now, I say yes, and there will be silences, and that's pretty much okay because it tells you that people are really working hard and they are really reflecting on so many stories and which one to pick, and enjoy that silence. And after a while, it kept rolling. And these slots were like 30 minutes or so, but we kept on going and going and going. There was no way to stop this. You get in a sort of a story trance, I would say, which Bateson would love as a term, I guess. And what's crazy, Anton walked in halfway the session. And then after the session, I did a reflection round. And he said, you know, when you go to a conference, there's this kind of pressure to go to so many things. And there's so many things that are told and sold to you. And at one point, your head is full and you feel tired. But he said, I came to this session and I heard so much more and I'm energized. And that's something that has remained consistent with all the experiences that I had, is that it doesn't tire you. Well, after 3 hours, you might get tired, but it doesn't exhaust you in the way thinking exhausts you. It's wisdom being shared. It's also a different way of remembering. I always make the comparison between, do you still remember the physics formula or mathematical formulas? And of course, mathematicians do. Then I ask them about a grammatical rule and they can relate to what I'm pointing at. And then I ask them about these stories. And obviously, some stories will stick to them for the rest of their lives. And at the same time, other stories will be gone in an instant, but that's okay. So with the formula, you're instructed or expected to know it exactly as it is. With a story, you're invited to hear as it appeals to you. And that's the beauty of stories. I've experienced people telling a story about their childhood in a way that makes sense to them right now in their adult life in ways that they had never expected. So yeah, that was it actually.
Yeah.
That was how it started.
Wow.
Yeah. The only thing I asked people when spreading it around was to tell the story as they heard it, as I told you, and to mention Bateson, because he gave it to us and I just passed it on in a different form, but it's still his way of being. It's his way of sharing stories. And that also resonates with what's at the heart of the solution-focused community, which is whatever we practice has been passed on to us by so many professionals, but also, and let's not forget that, by so many clients who are willing to let us be part of their learning, and being grateful for that and being respectful for that is the only thing I ask.
Wow. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And there is also a website to read more about that reminds me of the following story. You will find that in our resource section of the podcast to read more about the story and the background of that reminds me of the following story.
Yes. And I have a little idea for your session. Wouldn't it be great if you invite your listeners to share a story that they were reminded of when they hear you sharing stories?
That will be the challenge of the week.
Wow.
Have a great day, Hannes, and thank you very much again for being on Zoom with us today. What a beautiful story. And we are truly curious now what stories will come up today for us in our That Reminds Me of the Following Story.
Enjoy.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's reflect our last half year with That Reminds Me of the Following Story.
Our conversation with Hannes reminds me of the following story and of all the beautiful people actually who were on our podcast and said yes to be conversation partners on our podcast and allowed us to ask them all these questions and to be not only in conversation but also to spend so much beautiful time together. And one story that comes to my mind with that is our first podcast interview. We did it with Jonathan Sherman and it was so exciting. Our idea was to, at the beginning, give some podcasts about solution focus and about how to apply solution focus or also what solution focus means to us. But then being with Jonathan, we realized, okay, now we have to start the interview series. And it was so exciting and it was so easy to be in conversation and we just enjoyed it. So we were looking forward from that moment to every conversation with other people.
Yeah, exactly. And that reminds me of the following story of how Jonathan responded to our first email when we sent him an email that Kirsten Dieroth connected us to him. He wrote back, well, yes, come on by and you can use the shower and the bathtub as long as you want. I know what travelers need and you can eat as much as you want and you can bath as much as you want. And it was so inviting for us to come by. And ever since, whenever we contacted someone, it was like this joyful, yes, come on by and then let's spend time together. And we had some lovely time with people, like, for example, with Pam when we went skiing and Bibi was on the skis for the first time, and we realized when Bibi skied that we need to get out of her way of learning, for example, and just let her do it because she decided she can already ski and she showed us that. And for me, our gatherings with other solution focused practitioners are not only nice time that we spend with them and get to know each other, it's also so much learning about solution focus and about life with them, not only when we talk about these topics but also when we just are out there, like with Pam, or out there skiing.
That reminds me of the story of how we choose our destinations along our journey and how we chose our destinations along our journey. And I just loved how it unfolded by recommendations, by people telling stories about other people and telling us, oh, you should really meet. So like Pam, for instance, said, oh, you should really meet Vic and Rana. So Victor Nelson and Thurana Nelson. You should really meet Monica Rodner. So just step by step, we knew, okay, so Pam is a great friend of ours, so we should really go there because she might see that there is a special connection and that we can have a great time together. It was quite easy then to move on, and with that, just not only traveling with the idea of going to places, but much more traveling with the idea of meeting people and connecting with them.
Yeah, and that reminds me of how we came to Canada. We were at Stephen Langer's and Kathy's house. and we actually wanted to go to Canada on the highway to Vancouver, and they said, no, take the ferry to Vancouver Island. It's much nicer to go to Vancouver Island with a ferry, and at the customs there are not that many people, so you'll be in Canada in a moment. And this was really what was happening. We went there and there was this woman greeting us. She smiled at us, and within two questions we were in Canada and were in Vancouver Island and Victoria. And that's where we met Janet Bavalos and her team, Sarah Healing and Jennifer Gerving. And we had such a nice, great time. It was great learning there. It was also a great gathering. Janet brought us to some very, very cool restaurants, and we had fish and chips at the harbor in Victoria. And from there on, we went to Tofino. And it's also something that emerged on the road. We have never heard of Tofino before, and everybody told us, you have to go to Tofino. So we decided, okay, let's go there. And we had the most amazing time there. We spent almost 4 weeks in Tofino on this lovely campground. We saw gray whale there. We went to town with our bicycles and really had a very, very nice start coming to Canada.
That reminds me of the story of my first surf lesson in Tofino. I'm for years super curious about learning surfing, so I took the chance in Tofino, and I went there in the morning with the Surf Sisters. I loved the name. It was a 3-hour course, and we were in the water, and I so much loved it. The cold ocean, and as some of you know, I'm just into ice baths with the Wim Hof method, so it was really exciting to be in the ice cold water. And then there was this beautiful, heart-touching moment when a bald eagle came and it flew just right across our heads. It felt like I could touch him, and it was like he says hello, and then he flew his way again. And wow, I love these tiny little precious moments. And not only the surfing was so exciting for me, and also this moment with the eagle will forever stay in my heart.
Yeah, and speaking about tiny little precious moments, we had so many of them. And that reminds me of the great conversation I had with Stephen Langer on his sofa. We talked about Wittgenstein and how to apply it to solution focus. And we went on for about an hour. For me, that was not only a precious moment because of the conversation we had, but also because of the connection we made there on the sofa at 1 o'clock at night.
Connection. That reminds me of the story in Albuquerque when we went on Sandia Mountain and for the first time had minus temperatures, and I was so excited about it because I could finally do a hike just in shorts. I was starving for it. And I went there on this hike. Bibi and Dominic built a snowman meanwhile, and I just went there. It was cold. It was windy. It was not too cold. It was like, I think, -4, -5 degrees, but still cold. It was cold.
It was very cold.
And then I met these two people, a young man and a young woman, and he was sitting on this tree branch across the path, smiling down at me and asked me whether I saw Alice in Wonderland. It was like just this miraculous encounter, and I don't even remember what I said, but I just realized, I think 10 minutes later, what he might have asked me, and I answered completely different. It was such a fun joy moment for me, so I had the biggest joy with myself. And then I went back and I saw them again, and we came into this lovely discussion about the Wim Hof method and, well, the effects of the Wim Hof method. And then it turned out that Nick Castillo is a videographer and really knows about filmmaking, and he took some shots of mine, and out of that I could make my little Wim Hof story from the Mount Sandia. So if you want to watch it, you can go onto YouTube. And the next day we met with Nick and did a lovely ice bath session and breathing session. It was just beautiful to celebrate this encounter with this very special human and his lovely friend. So that truly made my day and also part of my stay in Albuquerque.
Yeah, and that reminds me of the story how connections that we make and probably everybody makes during life keep on going. There's so many people who registered for Elfie's birthday project that we met on the road, like Nick, for example, and others that have no connection or had no connection to Solution Focus before. And now through the connection of having a great time together, spending time together, they somehow stay connected to us. We somehow stay connected to them. And what is great about the online program, Elfie's Birthday Project, is that we kind of see a lot of people there that registered that we somehow met on the road. And that reminds me of the following story with Thorana Nelson. When we had Thorana Nelson in our podcast, she mentioned the importance of relationship questions and what a difference it makes if you ask a client to think of how his mother would notice that he was doing better, or how his partner was noticing that he was doing better compared to just a stranger on the street. And that made us think, and we talked for about 4 or 5 hours about the importance of relationship questions, and found out that, yeah, it's really important to ask clients what people that they're in relationship with would notice when they're doing better, what they noticed that already worked, and things like that. And it can also be very important to have this stranger moment on the street, for example. I had this coaching conversation, for example, where I just made so much progress thinking of how the first person on the street would notice that I'm doing better. And that was, for me, even though I don't know what person that will be and I don't know which one it could be, and I have no relationship to that person, was a very profound and important moment for me to find out how I would react and how he or she would notice.
That reminds me of the following story. The two of us were back home in Switzerland, sitting on our couch and talking about our preferred future and about how we might notice that this is the journey we truly want to make. And when we talked about meeting all these strangers, which will not be strangers anymore after we met them, when we talked about connecting with people, when we talked about spreading solution focus in the world, when we talked about connecting people with each other and doing meaningful conversations around the RV and having like this coffee parties where we have our RV somewhere, where we have the coffee machine, where we invite complete strangers on the street, on the campgrounds, wherever, to connect with us, to have a coffee with us and to have a meaningful conversation with us. And it was such a precious gift in Dundas with Laura Cole to make this the first time on our trip a reality, in the sense like it was really exactly as I actually had it in mind when we talked about our preferred future. We put our RV there, we had the coffee machine, we invited people, we talked to people coming across the street, we invited them to conversations. I even met a woman there who was trained by Peter de Jong. It was just amazing. She was just by any chance there, and the solution-focused practitioner just around without knowing about the event, and then having this lovely conversation. It's just amazing what can arise when we are clear about our preferred future. And this is really a big, big learning for me throughout this journey. I'm very, very grateful for.
Yeah, and this reminds me of how important it is to notice that your preferred future is coming true right at that moment. We had this moment, for example, when the first person drove by and honked and shouted, "Well, it's a cool thing, I'm on your website, I love what you do." And we enjoyed that, but only in the evening we realized, well, and that's exactly what we talked about a year ago when we talked about preferred future. And since then, we're really aware of those moments when the preferred future shows up, because the preferred future shows up so many times, so often in our lives and probably in your life. And it's not that easy to really spot that, to highlight that, and to amplify that through just mentioning it and doing more of that, or just enjoying it.
That reminds me of the story that I love to tell myself and that we love to tell each other, that friend power is so much stronger than willpower. And the one thing was, when back home, when we talked about our preferred future, when we talked about signs of progress, when we talked about the things we want to see come true in our lives, it was beautiful to talk to each other about that. It was even more powerful to talk with others about that. And I remember the NLA-Tagung in Switzerland, when Felix Hirschburger with a few other people coached us, and we had this lovely conversation about our RV and how to make the design going, and really talking about the preferred future of our hearty. Well, most importantly for me, about the differences we want to make with our RV. And that also reminds me of the story, the thing with the friend power, when we traveled Florida and met my Wim Hof friend Steve, when when we traveled Colorado and met Justin there, when we traveled Canmore and spent amazing time with Angel, when we traveled to Calgary and were welcomed by Vince. It was such a beautiful way of reconnecting with the Wim Hof family and doing some funny, crazy stuff outdoors with them and just having a lovely time. Also in Houston with Reed, just going out for lunch and seeing his lovely martial arts studio and getting a short introduction into boxing was just so exciting. And I love all these opportunities to reconnect with people and meet new people.
Yeah, and your way of telling the story reminds me of the travels we have made so far in North America. We started in Halifax, drove down the East Coast to Florida, then around the Gulf Coast to Texas, then up to New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, Washington, then to Vancouver Island. And from Vancouver, we drove all the way across Canada to, well, first Calgary, then Toronto, then Montreal, Quebec, and now we're back in Halifax or Nova Scotia right now. And what I realized on this journey, especially from Calgary to Toronto, is how distances are really subjective. First, when we were in Calgary and we saw the distance from Calgary to Toronto, we realized, well, we need around 9 days to do that. In the pace we drive with our family, it was unimaginable how long this is. And then while we did it, we realized, well, we're getting closer and closer just by seeing what we have done so far. And I think that's something that happens when you're on the way to your preferred future. It might be so far away, and then you start doing it, and then you get closer and closer, do one step and do another step, and then from there you go there and do another step, and suddenly you're there. And suddenly we were in Toronto. And ever since we did that, when people say, well, you know, I have a recommendation for you, but it's quite far away, it's 2 hours, or it's quite far away, it's 300 kilometers, we're like, oh, okay. So that's it's quite close for us. So the distance to somewhere you want to be really has changed. And I think this is what's happening in Solution Focus too, as we not only have a first session, but maybe meet the person another time, that we highlight the way that person is already gone. And with that, the distance gets shorter and shorter. Or the person sees where he has come from or she has come from and all the way he or she has already gone.
That reminds me of the following story. Things or solutions or encounters often don't come the way how we imagine. And I just think of all the beautiful encounters we had thanks to Bibiana. She's a master in connecting us to joyful, interesting, wonderful people just by starting a conversation and going there and asking them, do you want to play? And they start playing, and it's no matter how old or young the people are. And if they don't start playing, they start a conversation, and that invites us to join the conversation. And all of a sudden, Dominic and I find myself in a lovely conversation. And there are many, many stories that come to my mind, and two are maybe most outstanding for me. The one is when we spent Christmas in Arkansas and had all this kind of really miraculous encounters in this coffee spot, the Collective Coffee. So I think I already mentioned that. If you ever go to Arkansas, go there. For us, it was just amazing. We met a guy from Switzerland who actually lived just 10 minutes away from where we lived and had an amazing evening with him. We met a guy from Arkansas and his wife is from Spain. They both work in Frankfurt. And we know 3 people in Frankfurt and they knew one of them, which is like just not possible. And it was possible. And then we met this lovely family from Fort Worth. And it turned out that Corey is a wonderful hairstylist and I could make an appointment with her when we were in Fort Worth, which was lovely. And actually, we also spent some really beautiful times together talking about coffee because Claire, their daughter, is super passionate about coffee. And we even did a short coffee introduction with her and a photo shooting, which was really, really fun, as well as going out for dinner and just spending precious time together. And the other story that comes to my mind is in Delfino, when Bibi became friend with Alicia, they said, actually, we are not friends, we are sisters. And it really felt like that. So the two of them, they really saw and found each other. And through that, again, we came into contact with her lovely parents and had just an amazing time. As we told already in the previous podcast, introduced us to s'mores. They invited us to their home. They made our first date night in, I don't know how many months possible. So Bibi could stay with them and Dominic and I could go out into a pub and just be the two of us, which was really beautiful. So there are so many encounters we had thanks to Bibi. I actually cannot even count them.
Yes, and speaking about sisters, that reminds me of the following story. When we arrived in Toronto, we met Haesan Moon and Boyeon Ko. They're not actual sisters. They are working together in such a beautiful way, and they have a wonderful Solution Focus network in Toronto. And we had the pleasure and honor to meet so many people there and really felt like coming home to a Solution Focus community like we had in Switzerland. We haven't had that for quite a while. We have it thanks to you, the people who listen and comment on our blog, comment on Facebook. We have it through people who send us emails, and we have it online, but we haven't had it in a real way, and we really enjoyed that time there.
That reminds me of the story of a great storyteller with whom we just stay, namely Heather Fisk and also Brenda Salter-Minden. It's just exciting. So talking about sisters, I feel Brenda and Heather kind of have something of soul sisters, at least. And they are both amazing hosts, both amazing grandparents, and both really amazing people with whom it's just joyful to be around.
And speaking about grandmothers and grandfathers, this reminds me of the following story with Victor Nelson, how he walked around the La Fonda Hotel where the SFPTA conference last year was in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and he showed Bibi everything, and they even went for a little treasure hunt there. And also Bill O'Hanlon. When we met Bill O'Hanlon in Santa Fe, he is such a great storyteller and we had such a great evening with him. We went out for a pizza and it was not only lovely to hear stories about Ericsson, you will hear them in 2 weeks. We have him on our podcast, on podcast number 28, but also to hear his life story. And the most amazing thing for us was how he told all those stories and at the same time was so present and aware of what's happening with Bibi. She went to another table and talked there, and the person responded and looked to us, and while he was telling the story he responded to him, and for everyone it was clear he's her grandfather.
That reminds me of the story, how precious it is to reach out to people to ask for their support or to ask whether they just would love to meet with us. And we sent this short email to the SFT list asking whether someone around the United States, someone around our route would love to meet. And one of them replying was Dvorah Simon. And she's such a generous, beautiful soul, and was such a heart-touching meeting with her. We met in New Mexico and we went to this beautiful, delicious restaurant there. And then a few days later, Dvorah again invited us to be with her and with her team and to talk about Solution Focus, to talk about their work, to talk about our work and to inspire each other. And talking about generosity, also Elliot Connie comes to my mind and the lovely time we spent with him in Fort Worth in this steakhouse and and also just seeing him interacting with the other people was just stunning for me. So Dominic said he wanted to learn about briskets, and Elliot immediately had the whole idea how we could do that, and he just went, took us there, was in lovely relationship with everyone in the restaurant, the same in the steakhouse later. And then before his first SFU conference came up in Niagara-on-the-Lake, just really willing to make space for us there was amazing. Unfortunately, we couldn't get there because of our RV, which would remind me of 10 other stories.
And that reminds me of the many, many Solution Focus people we also met on the road, and some of them we have on our podcast and some we haven't had yet. And we're so grateful to have this Solution Focus network. We knew that when we were in Europe, because we experienced that in Europe, but only now we see how strong and how successful and important this network worldwide is. And I think we could go on for hours and hours, like Hannes said, and it's time to come to an end here.
Thank you so much, Dominic, for this lovely, that reminds me of the following story round, and I can't wait to have our next campfire to talk more about that. Now we love to invite you, as Hannes said, to share your stories with us. So when you heard our stories, which stories came up for you? We are really curious and excited to hear about them. So please come to our website and comment on www.sfontour.com/simplyfocuspodcast and then go to episode 26.
And if you have not yet done, please subscribe to our podcast so that you don't have to go to our website every time we release a new podcast, so that you get information automatically. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Blueberry, and you can also subscribe by email, then you'll always get an email as soon as the next podcast is published.
We also talked about my birthday project today, which is a project very close to my heart. And I'm very happy that Brigitte Lavoie and Heather Fisk said yes to this project. So we put together a little mini online program about hope and reasons for living. And I would love to invite you to join this program and maybe even to join our live webinar on Sunday 26th, so this upcoming Sunday. And if you only hear about this program after Sunday 26th, please still feel invited to register for the program, as there will be a recording, there will be a conversation with Brigitte and Heather, there will be additional materials around this topic. And I feel really excited to share this program with all of you.
And that reminds me of the following story, that today is Hannes' birthday. So Hannes, who inspired us to do this reflection of our last half year, has birthday today on August 24th, and we would like to sing for him.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Hannes, happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much for having been with us today, Hannes, and a wonderful new year ahead for you.
And we're looking forward to seeing you when we're back in Europe again. Thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye.